Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen.
Don't lose sight of what the goal is.
Of what the goal is here.
And please welcome.
It is your turn.
The Grant.
Right now.
Napier Show.
It's showtime, baby.
Okay, let's begin.
In 3, 2.
To roll up your sleeves to your freaking neck.
1.
Broadcasting live from the Coors Light Studios of Sports 1140, KHDK. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Now, here's Grant Napier.
And a good afternoon. Boy, do we have a lot of things going on here as it's a quick show because the A's are in Motown getting ready to take on the Detroit Tigers. Of course, the big news obviously has to do if you are a fan of the Golden State Warriors. And, you know, what you have to be concerned, a couple of things. You know, no one is saying that Steph Curry is going to be back in 2 weeks. All right? He's going to miss at least 2 weeks, and then he will be reevaluated. So if you're looking at the Warriors, you can't say, well, let's see. It is now Monday, and that means 2 weeks from today, if the Warriors are still playing, Steph Curry will be back. No, that's not what it means at all, okay? It means he's out at least 2 weeks, and then will be reevaluated. And even if Steph Curry is given a green light to play in 2 weeks, he's not going to be 100%. So the question is, can the Golden State Warriors win a round two series, assuming that they polish off Houston against either Portland or the LA Clippers without Steph Curry? And if you look at this series right now, we're talking about the Blazers and the Clippers. You know, I think most people still feel the Clippers are going to prevail game four tonight in Portland. If the Clippers can get a road win, they'll be up 3-1. If not, then the series would be extended. But I don't know about you. I like the Clippers to beat the Golden State Warriors if they don't have Steph Curry. And here's something else about the LA Clippers. If they can't beat the Golden State Warriors without Steph Curry, then they need to break up that team. Because this team has been good to very good, and they have not been able to make it past the second round of the playoffs. Last year, the meltdown against Houston, a perfect example of what's wrong down there in L.A. with that mix of players. Something is not right down there in L.A. when you have talent that good and they keep on, you know, getting beat by teams they should not lose to. But again, Warriors, say whatever you want. They're in trouble. All right, you might be able to win against the Houston Rockets without Steph Curry. I don't think you win against the LA Clippers without Steph Curry, although I wouldn't rule it out. My point is the Clippers are the favorites, I would have to think. But we are talking about the Clippers. Now, if Portland comes back and wins this series, you've got the matchup of Damian Lillard, C.J. McCollum, and, you know, a Portland team that has really been the surprise of everybody in the West this year. I don't think that's going to happen. I still look at the, you know, the Clippers to come back and win this series. All right, a lot of news on the Kings coaching front. I just want to say this. When Vlade Divac has his list of who he wants to interview, he does not send the list to the media. All right? Vlade Divac does not send out a list of his coaching candidates to me or to Dave or to Jason or to News 10 or KCRA or, you know, CBS 13. Vlade Divac does not let you and I know who's on his list. So for people to question, well, gee, how come they're not interviewing this guy or how come they're not interested in that guy? The question I would have for you is, how do you know? How do you know? What makes you think that you know who Vlade Divac likes and who he doesn't like? Why do you think that you know that Vlade Divac has no interest in that guy, but has an interest in this one because somebody from, you know, CBS Sports or somebody from ESPN says so? I can tell you flat out right now that Vlade Divac is interested in a couple of coaching candidates that no one knows about. All right? I know that. He's interested in candidates that no one's talked about yet. So, you tell me, who's the next coach of the Sacramento Kings going to be? I don't know. Vlade Divac right now doesn't know. But here's what I do know. There's not just five names on his list that he's going to interview that everybody's talking about. There are many other names on the list that he's trying to get interviews with. And this thing is not quick. It's not something that's going to take 48 hours or 72 hours. And Vlade Divac is not sitting here on the telephone letting everyone know who he's talking to and who he's not talking to. So just sit back and relax. You know, it's not like, you know, if the Kings don't have a coach by this Friday or next Friday, it's a big deal. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal because the season doesn't start until October. The draft is not until the end of June, and potential draftees don't even start coming in until June 1st or so. So I'll tell you when it's a big deal. It's a big deal if we get to June and the Kings don't have a coach as you start having the college kids come in for workouts. Then it becomes a big deal. Not a big deal right now. All right? It's April. We haven't even gotten to the second round of the playoffs yet. Let the thing play out, would you please? Like, everyone's panicking because, gee, Washington's got Scott Brooks. And the Timberwolves have the late Flip Saunders been replaced by Tom Thibodeau. And let's face it, that franchise, I mean, there's nothing worse than the death of somebody that's running your team, and everyone loved Flip Saunders in Minneapolis. You know, he's a household name in that state, and rightfully so. And this was a year of kind of adjustment for Minnesota after Flip passed away at the beginning of the season. And now you have Tom Thibodeau, who's going to try to not only do what Flip was doing, but coach the team, and they're paying him a very handsome figure to get it done. They've got a really good team. You know that. I know that. Karl Anthony Towns is going to be the best center in basketball in 3 years. Take that to the bank. Andrew Wiggins is on his way to a very good player. Zach LaVine looks really, really good. That team has a chance to be an elite team. And by elite, I'm talking about a top four team in the West in the very near future. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind. Barring injury, the Minnesota Timberwolves have a chance to be a top four team before too much longer. All right, so two of the top names are gone. So what? Kings weren't getting Tom Thibodeau or Scott Brooks to come coach here anyway. You know, it's not a big deal if the Kings do not have a head coach in the next few weeks. Relax, everybody. I understand it's important. I understand that it's big news in the sense that you want to know who the next coach is going to be. But it's not crucial to get it done in the month of April. Not at all. And here's the other deal. You know, you saw that the Lakers fired Byron Scott, right? Well, there are going to be some other coaches that are going to be fired in the next few days. So it's not just the Kings and Lakers that are currently looking for coaches. There will be another team or two or three. Very good chance they'll be looking for coaches as well. And here's something else you always have to think about. Vlade Divac is interested in some coaches that are currently coaching in the playoffs. He's got to wait in between series to interview those potential candidates. There are college coaches. There are assistant coaches. Go through the process. This is the most important hire that Vlade Divac will make in his short tenure of the Sacramento Kings. This is where it all starts. It starts with this decision that Vlade Divac is going to make. He knows he's not going to rush into this. He knows he's got to be thorough. He understands that this is not going to be something that he's going to rush to. Can't. So just keep that in mind, would you please? as we go through this day by day by day by day. All right, the three games tonight in the NBA. Charlotte's going to try to even up their series with Miami. And it looks like Oklahoma City has a good chance to advance to round two as they look to finish off the Dallas Mavericks. And the late game tonight at 7:30, the Clippers and the Blazers. So that's your basketball schedule. That's your basketball story. I'm not even going to talk that much about Deflategate and Tom Brady because I think I speak for so many people. We don't care. You know, we don't care that his four-game suspension's been reinstated by the U.S. Appeals Court. Do you care? I don't care. I'm not spending any time on it. Tired of it. Go away. Don't care. Did it affect the Patriots this past year? No, I don't think so. Tom Brady miss any games? Nope. Didn't think so. Not a big deal. Don't want to hear about it. I'm not going to talk about it unless it becomes major news. Right now, it's not major news. It's not major news because it's April, and you and I both know in the judicial system that we have in the United States, you can stretch this thing out over 8 to 10 presidents, all right? I don't think Tom Brady's going to miss any games at all. All right, let's talk some baseball. Let's start with the Oakland A's. And again, so far, a very good road trip. You look at them going into New York and taking three from the Yankees. Then you go and you win one of three against Toronto. That's fine. And anyone complaining about that? You're 4-2 so far on a six-game trip. And now next up, starting in about 50 minutes, the Detroit Tigers. And you look at Detroit, they're really struggling. They're 8-9. They've lost four in a row. And a good chance for Oakland to get, you know, a couple more road wins before they come home. But I so far, if you're a fan of the Oakland A's, you got to like this road trip. 4-2. 4-2. And again, you're playing Toronto. They're a good team. We get that. We all get that. Giants, listen. The Marlins were able to finally salvage a game in that series. But when you look at San Francisco, that division right now has the Dodgers on top by five or by 2.5 games over Colorado. Anybody out there think Colorado's going to be around come September? I didn't think so. Anybody out there really think Arizona's going to be in the mix come September? So here's the deal. The Dodgers are 12-7. The Giants are playing probably as poorly as they're going to play all year. I say probably because, hey, it's sport. If we knew, we'd all be millionaires because we'd be gambling every day. The Giants are 9-11. They're 3.5 back of the Dodgers, so they're maintaining sight. You know, the teams you worry about, like if you're a fan, you know, like if you're a fan of the Atlanta Braves or the Marlins, your season's over already. You know, you don't worry about the Giants being a couple games back of the Dodgers. And then, you know, you talk about the Nets. Boy, how good are the Washington Nationals and Dusty Baker? 14 up, 4 down. They won 7 of 10. What a crazy win they had in 16 yesterday. They are really hitting on all cylinders, as are the Cubs. 14-5 for the Cubs. And don't say anything bad about the St. Louis Cardinals. Because you know and I know, the Cardinals are always in the mix somehow, some way. St. Louis, 10-8, only 3.5 back, hanging around, hanging around, hanging around. Nobody, you know, you look at all what they have lost. They're ahead of Pittsburgh. They're ahead of Cincinnati. Milwaukee stinks, so we don't even talk about them. But again, local baseball, Oakland, first place, tied with Texas, 10-9. Texas has lost three in a row. The division right now does not look that strong. We thought Houston would be the best team. They are really struggling. They are 6-13. They have lost 7 of 10. You know that they're going to get hot here at some point in time. But for the A's, just keep on doing what you're doing. Hang around. Get some of these young guys to get some confidence. you know, wait for some of the slumps, the guys that are slumping currently, which there are, you know, to break out of it. And then, I think the A's are already, they're surprising me. I didn't think they would be through basically 20 games, 500 or better. But that's where they're at right now. And, again, this is a young season. Get some confidence and keep on going. Keep on going. I mean, does anyone out there think Chris Davis is going to bat 195 the whole year? I don't think so. I mean, think about how bad he's hitting the ball right now. Terrible. Absolutely awful. Batting 197. Two homers, six RBI. So here you are at 10-9, and a guy that you were counting on for a lot of pop is struggling that badly. I mean, really struggling. That's surprising. I thought he'd get off to a much better start. Billy Burns. No homers, no RBI. That's your center fielder, all right? You know, you talk about depth. You know, Coco's starting to get it going a little bit coming off the bench, maybe pinch hitting, maybe DHing. Reddick, only batting 250. Does have four homers, but look at that outfield. Collectively, those three really not hitting that well. Tell you a guy that I'm really starting to like from the Oakland A's, and that's Marcus Semien. I'm not liking him for his batting. I like the fact that he looks more comfortable in the field. I think Ron Washington has done a nice job with him. So, again, A's hanging around. Get some confidence. Get going and see what you can do in the American League West. So those are a couple of things we're going to talk about this week. And then, of course, the NFL draft. Tell me now what you think is going to happen at the 49ers pick and the Raiders pick. I'm talking about the first round. I'm not talking about the whole draft. When you look at the NFL draft coming up this week, and you talk about the mock drafts change all the time. They change all the time. And then you have, of course, Sam Bradford apparently wants out of Philadelphia. Let me tell you something. Sam Bradford's not good enough to want out of anywhere. I mean, Sam Bradford now demanding a trade? Who is Sam Bradford? What the hell has he ever done in his career? Seriously? Sam Bradford now wants a trade out of Philadelphia? Why, he can't handle the fact that the Eagles are going to draft a quarterback? Let me tell you something. The reason why Sam Bradford has requested a trade and said he won't show up for the offseason program is because he knows that he's not that good, and he doesn't want to be embarrassed by losing his job to a rookie quarterback. How awful. Do you really even want Sam Bradford on your team? This guy requests a trade, says he's not going to show up for the offseason program? Boy, that's a great guy to have as your quarterback, huh? I mean, how bad is that? And again, you know, what are we talking about here? Are we really talking about Sam Bradford, who's done anything in his NFL career? Like, what has Sam Bradford done that you can take him seriously in any area of winning football games in the National Football League? You know, with St. Louis, he was hurt all the time. You know, in Philadelphia, he didn't get the job done. Looked lost out on the field on many occasions. You know, if you are a fan of the Eagles, do you even want Sam Bradford on your team? And here's the other issue. Who out there really wants Sam Bradford as their quarterback? Like, you think teams are lining up at the phone booth to call up Philadelphia for Sam Bradford? You got to be kidding me. Just ridiculous. But again, the draft this week, and I think there will still be a couple more trades before the draft. Most people think Goff's going to the Rams. Wentz is going to go to Philadelphia. Just for the record, I would take Wentz over Goff. Just before it starts, I'm telling you, I would take Carson Wentz, the quarterback out of North Dakota State. All right, what does Dallas do at number four? Do they go running back, Elliott out of Ohio State? Do they go defense? What does San Francisco do? Does DeForest Buckner, the defensive end of Oregon, slide down to them? If he does, That's a no-brainer. You get your pick in within 10 seconds. That's very simple. You get your pick in within 10 seconds. You fill out your card. Boom. Here you go, Commish. We're taking DeForest Buckner. If he's on the board at number 7, it's an absolute no-brainer. I don't think you take Ronnie Stanley here. I think he would go to Cleveland at 8. And then you got Tampa at 9. And you've got the Giants at 10. But if I'm San Francisco and Buckner's on the board, that's a no-brainer. If he's not on the board, then maybe you do go Ronnie Stanley, the offensive tackle out of Notre Dame. Now to the Raiders. And the Raiders are obviously a team that's trending north. Do they go with Eli Apple, a cornerback out of Miami, if he's on the board? Do they go with a William Jackson, the cornerback out of Houston, if he's on the board? In other words, I think they go cornerback with their pick. You lose Woodson to retirement. You know, if you're a Raiders fan, they do not have a good group of corners. And I think you've got to go corner here. I really do. Another need is an offensive tackle. But I think if you have Apple on the board, if you have Jackson on the board, and you're in the need of a cornerback, and the Raiders are, then I think that's the direction you go in. Always fun the week of the NFL draft. And here's what we do know. Each and every year, there are first-round busts, and there are late-round surprises. You're going to see about half the players taken in the first round end up being below expectations 3 years from now. You'll look back and go, boy, what a bad pick that was in the first round. Gee, what a bad pick that was. And then you're going to look at a guy that's drafted in the sixth round, and you're going to go, boy, if the draft were held all over again, he would go in the first round. Happens all the time. Happens all the time. We got A's baseball coming up in a little bit. I'm going to be here for one more segment, and then we'll talk about some other things that are going on this week in the world of sports that are big. Haven't even touched on hockey yet. I'll do that in the next segment, as it relates to the San Jose Sharks and what they've been able to do early in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So we'll touch on that when we come back. This is the Grant Napier Show on Sacramento Sports Station, Sports 1140 KHTK. Back with you here on the Grant Napier Show. We got A's baseball coming up for you in a little bit. The Sharks over the weekend did something that was much needed. They finally got rid of their nemesis, the L.A. Kings, winning in 5 games. So the Sharks, that was huge for them. Absolutely huge to be able to get that out of their system. And, you know, you've heard me say this. Do I like hockey? I do like hockey a lot. And I think the Stanley Cup playoffs are the best thing going. I think they are the best thing going. The Stanley Cup playoffs, phenomenal, especially the overtime games. They're incredible. And tonight, you've got a Game 7. Chicago and St. Louis. Home ice doesn't mean anything in hockey. Should be a dandy in a Game 7. Anaheim and Nashville with Anaheim up 3-2. Somebody said Bradford gets to keep a signing bonus if they trade him. I'm very well aware of that. Thank you very much. Absolutely. Clearly. Somebody says, why would a playoff coach want to coach in Sacramento? Well, if they're a playoff coach, where are we talking about playoffs when? Like, if they're a playoff coach, then they're not available, right? Or a playoff coach that gets fired this year, they're going to want a job. I mean, Kevin McHale was in the Western Conference Finals last year. He got fired in the first few weeks of the season. Now, he's got a couple years left on his deal. He may want to just collect his money and hang out. He wants a job, right? Maybe. We got other coaches. Tom Thibodeau was a playoff coach based on your analogy. He went to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Scott Brooks was a playoff coach. He went to Washington. Kings will get a good coach, trust me. The Kings will get a good coach. Somebody says, Grant, the Kings knew since February they were hiring a new coach. Not a good sign that the Kings don't know who to hire. Well, first of all, what makes you think that they don't know who they want to hire? Like, where are you getting your information from? Did Vladdy call you this morning and tell you, hey, you know what? We really have no idea what we're doing, and we have no idea who we want to hire. What makes you say that? Why is it that there are people out there that think that the Kings don't know what they want to do? They know exactly what they want to do. Vlade Divac has got his list, and Vlade Divac got his narrow list. He's got a couple of different lists. He's got a list with one person on it. And then he has another list if he can't get that person that he really wants. Trust me on this. Vlade Divac knows exactly who he wants to coach the Sacramento Kings. He doesn't know if it's possible or not. He doesn't know if it's going to happen, but he's got a number one guy on his list. He's got a number one guy on his list, and it's clear cut. He has another list with two or three other names. And he's going to try to get those guys if he can't get the guy that's number one. You know, there's this notion out there, this perception that Vladdy doesn't know what he was doing or doesn't know what he wants to do. Wrong and wrong. He knows what he's doing, and he knows what he wants to do. What he wants to do may not be possible, but he knows. He knows exactly who he wants. He knows exactly the guy that he wants to coach this team. What he doesn't know is whether or not he's going to be able to get that guy to come coach the Kings. Two completely different things. All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Somebody said history shows they don't know what they're doing. Well, there is no history with Vlade Divac because he's never hired a coach as the front office executive of the Sacramento Kings. So there is no history. History would tell you that Vlade Divac doesn't have history running the Sacramento Kings because he hasn't yet completed one full year on the job. That's history. Somebody wants to know if there's a chance we could get Jeff Van Gundy. No. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Somebody wants to know what I think of Elston Turner. I love Elston Turner. He's been close on a couple of jobs. He's interviewed before. But I don't think he's coming to Sacramento. Somebody said we question the Kings because they have a history of making bad decisions. I get that, and that's justified to say that. They have. I mean, I can't discount the past any more than you can. You're right. They have had a history of making very bad decisions with their coaches. I agree with you. I totally agree with you. But Vlade Divac hasn't hired a coach. This will be his first one. And so in this particular instance, you know, that history doesn't really mean a whole lot to me. It just doesn't. You know, I'm looking at history of the guy that's in charge right now. And Vlade Divac's success or lack thereof as a front office executive will very much depend on the person that he hires to be the next head coach of the Sacramento Kings. Because if that person does not work out and that person fails, that is going to fall on the shoulders of Vlade Divac. Conversely, if that coach has success and is here 4 years from now, then we will look at it as a very good decision by Vlade. So, you know, this has a lot of bearing on the future of Vlade Divac. This is a huge decision for Vlade, and he is very well aware of it. But for those of you out there that think, well, he doesn't have a plan, you don't know what the hell you're talking about, all right? You have no clue to what you're talking about. He's got a plan, and he's got a number one guy on his list. Just thought we would put that out there. All right, don't forget, A's baseball coming up in a couple of minutes. Getting a couple text messages about Byron Scott. I don't think Byron Scott right now is somebody that is going to take the top three spots on Vlade Divac's list. That's right now. I know Vlade Divac has got a list. I know who he wants on his list. We'll see if he can get it done. Somebody said, Grant, if Buckner is not available for the 49ers, could you see them taking Miles Jack? You know what? I could. And again, the thing with Miles Jack, you hear so many different reports on his health. See so many different things on his health. But I think Miles Jack's clearly going to go in the top 10. Absolutely. I think he's clearly going to go in the top 10 of the draft. But I think DeForest Buckner is not going to be on the board at 7. I could see him going as high as 3 to San Diego. I don't see him falling below 6 with Baltimore. And as far as the Raiders go, I still think they're going defense, and I think, you know, Eli Apple, cornerback out of Ohio State, who I've heard Miami really likes, if he goes past Miami, I could see him taking that corner out of Ohio State in Eli Apple. I think if Apple is off the board and they have a chance to still take a cornerback, I think that would be the direction they would go in. But I think they're going defense here. I think that's exactly the direction that they're going to go. One thing about the Raiders, you know, Reggie McKenzie survived, and he finally appears to have this team going in the right direction. So I got to give him credit there. Got to give him credit. All right, A's Baseball is coming up next. Hope you have a good one. I'll be back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Always great having you on board. The Grant Napier Show, Sports 1140, KHTK.